And so this morning, we're taking a break from our series in the pastoral epistles. We are on the last chapter of 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 4. We're going to resume that next Sunday. But this morning, we're going to be in James chapter 6. James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. Just a couple of verses, and then from there, we'll go to other areas in the Bible. But the title of this morning's message is Dad's Best Gift. Dad's Best Gift. So James chapter 1, verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your consistency. We thank you, Lord, for you being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, that as you look at us as individuals, there is no favoritism. Lord, we thank you that every good gift, every perfect gift, we can know that it comes from you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize those gifts and receive them as such into our lives and enjoy them and be good stewards of them. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would bless especially dads this morning. Parents, I pray, Lord, that you would just continue to give them understanding, give them wisdom, give them understanding of your word. And all of us, Lord, I pray that we would walk away understanding how important it is to love you, to learn to love you, to learn to walk with you, and to teach those around us how it is and what it is to walk with you. And so, Father, we commit this time into your hands. We set it aside for you. And we ask, Lord, that you would simply give us understanding of what we are about to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I heard this story of a father that was at the beach with his kids. And so they were out having fun. And his four-year-old son, Bob, ran up to him, grabbed his hand, and led him to the shore. So he took him by the hand, young Bobby, grabbed his dad, and he ran down to the edge of the shore where the water comes up, and he points down at this dead seagull. And he says, "Daddy," because dads have all the answers, he says, "Daddy, what happened to him?" And his son, as he asked that, was kind of upset with what had taken place, you know, just seeing this dead seagull lying in the sand. But his dad replied, "He died and went to heaven." At that, his son kind of thought for a moment, looked up at his dad, and he said, "Did God throw him back down?" Kids say the funniest things sometimes. You know, you try and give them an explanation of things, and they figure out ways in which you need to go into the other room and kind of laugh a little bit and then come back with a straight face and continue the conversation. It's great when you take the time for your kids and have these conversations and ask them questions and just probe them a little bit and let them be who God designed them to be in their own little personalities. It's fun. Let's talk about time and treasure. The best things in life are free. Have you heard that? We've all heard that, right? But is that right? Are all things in life free? Well, I don't think that is a completely honest answer. I don't think all things in life are free. I think those things that are free for the recipient maybe don't cost us anything, but for the giver, it costs that person many times everything. These are gifts worth giving, though. Ones that come with sacrifice. I'm reminded of David. which he didn't want to offer to God anything that didn't cost him something. Gifts worth giving. If they contain godly wisdom and are wrapped with divine love, just imagine a gift like that. Gifts that contain godly wisdom and are wrapped with divine love are always worth giving, right? The very word of God. These are dad's best gifts to spend time with your children and teach them godly wisdom as they prepare for and experience life. Now, this morning, we're not going to talk about how it is that, I know that dads, you'll receive gifts throughout the day, or maybe you already have, but it's not so much, who's more blessed, the one who gives or the one who receives? Christmas morning, who's blessed more? I don't know who's blessed more. I think I am. I think my wife is more blessed than our kids. They open up, you know, the gifts, and they get really happy, but we're totally blessed as we're giving them gifts. When we give each other as spouses, you know, we give each other gifts. I don't know. It's like, for Father's Day, I'd rather give out some gifts because that's just better than it is to actually receive the gifts. But I know that those who are giving are also being blessed, right? But dad's best gifts. To spend time with your children and teach them godly wisdom as they prepare for and experience life. See, it's not for us to just teach them Scripture. It's not just enough to teach them what the Word of God says. But as they experience life and we ourselves are deeply in the Word of God, then we share with them and guide them along this path that is governed and has these railings, right, that keep us on that path that is the Word of God, and we help them along that path. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's kind of hard to forget what you've learned at a young age, especially a young age when your mind is just a sponge and you're willing to take in and receive and believe. Later on, when you get older, you know, we pray that conviction comes upon you in at a rapid pace and very strongly, so that you could always, if you walk away from the Lord, would come back. Training up a child is not accomplished by proxy. You need to realize that, dads. To be absent and expecting everyone else to do the work for you as your representatives does not work. It does not work. It only brings resentment and brings about rebellion in our children. That's what happens. Anger, rebellion builds up. You know, when your kids stop asking you, you better listen for that. You know, "Dad, can you?" "No, I'm busy." "Dad, let's go here." "I'm busy." "Dad, I have this issue." "Later." "Can we?" "Maybe." After a while, this is what you'll hear. "Where's my boy? Where's my girl?" "It's not your boy anymore. It's not your girl. She's now a young lady. She's now a young man. And you lost out on opportunity to pour in." It's painful even to think about that. They seek dad's attention because they desire it specifically from him. From dad. Not anyone else. There are no substitutes. Yeah, you know, other men can come in and they can do and they can be and they can lead. They can do all those things. They can teach. But no other man can take the place of dad. No other person. You have that special position that God has set aside just for you. He's entrusted this life or lives to you, not to anyone else. And it matters what we do with that. Training up a child is hands-on. It involves your time and your attention. Dad's best gifts are demonstrated in the Father, with a capital F. Again, the gifts aren't to be received right now. I'm talking about the gifts that are to be given. James 1, 16 and 17, again, as we read through, and we'll read again, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." James 1, 16 and 17 gives us an understanding that God desires to give us every good gift and every perfect gift. And we have them. He not only desires to give us good and perfect gifts, but there is no favoritism with him. I love that. It's not because you're smarter. It's not because you do more. It's not for any other reason but because you're a child of the King that he blesses you. That amazes me. We can't deserve anything any more than anyone else. He desires to give us good and perfect gifts. There is no favoritism with him. Listen to this. Dads, you ever have a shift in moods? Yeah? I do. Maybe you don't. Right? It's a long day. You've worked all day. And then your kids demand more of you. Like, I don't know if I have anything left. And you get cranky. It's just different things to where our moods change. But one good example and something to really help us to realize how important it is for us as we see his example, our Father's example, how it is that we are to be with our children, we are to apply it. And even though we're tired, even though we're exhausted, even though we think we don't have time, we can't even think, our moods need to be kept in check, and we need to love on our children consistently. Is it hard? Yes. Is it possible? Yes. Is it impossible? No. Just because we realize that, we can catch ourselves. You know, right now I've brought it to your awareness. Listen, our example is God our Father, and He, there's no favoritism. He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so he looks at a certain situation, and he looks at people individually. And his moods don't change. That's something important for us as fathers to heed and to understand and to apply in how we love on our children. The theme of giving is strong in the Bible. Give, giving, gifts, and the variation of those words shows up over 2,100 times in the Bible. So it's very strong throughout the Word of God. The whole book itself, you can say, is a gift. Right? Genesis 1:15 says, "And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." God placed the great lights in the heavens to give light upon the earth. And light is the basic energy by which all creation functions so far as the earth is concerned. And you have to throw that in. So far as the earth is concerned, light is that energy by which all creation functions. But know this, that God is light. And doesn't need the sun, moon, or stars to give light. Genesis 1:3, in fact, if we back up a few verses, says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." By the way, this was before the sun, the moon, and the stars. He spoke, there was. 1 John 1:5 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim it to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Revelation 22:5 says, "The night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." And so this light antedates the sun, the moon, and the stars. They were given to us also, though. We see that many joyful celebrations involve lights. Think about how the shepherds saw the glory shining, according to Luke 2:9. And the wise men saw his star, Matthew 2:2. And John the Baptist testified that the true light had come, according to John 1:9. And today, the celebration of Christmas is known for its many lights. Lights are attractive to the eye. They reveal and they give warmth. And we know that sunlight promotes life. Speaking of life, I heard another story of course, a dad and his son. So this family, you know, every night they went through the routine of putting their children to bed. And this night in particular was different than other nights in that as they put their kids to bed, and they went back, the husband and wife, to their bedroom and retreated. They heard this sobbing coming from the room of their three-year-old, little Sammy. He was sobbing. And so quickly they got up and ran into the room, and they found him crying hysterically. He finally managed to tell them that he had swallowed a penny, and he was sure that he was going to die. Dad tried to console him and try to encourage him and reassure him that he was not going to die, but no amount of talking would calm him down. Finally, the father, thinking a little bit, he kind of thought, well, I could do this and maybe this will help him calm down. But he reached into his pocket, he palmed a penny, and reached over to Sammy's ear and pulled out the penny, right? So Sammy stopped crying, looked down at the penny, smiled big, and before his dad could close his hand, little Sammy reached into his hand, popped it in his mouth, swallowed it, and looked at his dad and says, "Do it again." Dads can do anything, right? Even pull pennies out of the ear. Let's go back to dad's best gifts found in time and treasure. Even though we can give physical gifts, that's fun, right? We can never enjoy them, or nor can they enjoy them correctly if we don't have godly wisdom and if we don't give godly wisdom to them. We can't teach them how it is to be good stewards of those things that they've been entrusted with, that they've been given, if we ourselves don't know and don't understand how to steward those good gifts and perfect gifts that the Father has given to us. Again, before yesterday's softball game, I had pointed that earlier, noted that. Jason gave a devotion on Colossians 1:16 and 17, which says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Very important for us to understand. Very important for us to understand that. And we learned that our gods, as I had mentioned earlier, are these idol factories. Very easily can take what we've received and turn them into gods. We worship them. Our time is consumed by them. Our thoughts are consumed by those things which we've been given to, just have fun with sometimes. And we turn them around and all of a sudden they're everything to us. That's all we talk about. I like how Jason went through and just some very basic questions to help us realize whether those things that we have in our possession or even that we're striving for are idols or not. We need to be careful of that. God himself needs to be in that place, and we need to understand scripture like this, these two short verses yesterday just spoke to me deeply. It's like, do we handle life with just open hands? You know, those things which are entrusted to us, do we allow them to go through our hands and that God can give us a little bit more so that we can use to His glory? Or do we grasp them with everything that we have and keep them for ourselves? Are we hoarders of those things that God gives us? Or do we use them to bless Him, to bring Him glory? Christians are supposed to be the most generous people on the face of the earth. And yet sometimes we keep everything to ourselves and we leave everyone else out. We are to be generous. And if we're not warned to be alert to that natural tendency, then we will soon have a multitude of gods that consume our thoughts and time. That comes from God's word. That was a great word of warning and also encouragement that He is still speaking to us and showing us the way in which we should walk with Him. And this is the very reason why dad's best gift to a child is the teaching of the Word of God in word and action. That's the best gift that you could give to your kids. You know, at times when they're going through difficulties in their life, whether they're 5 years old or 15 or 25, your ability to go back to the Word of God and teach them and show them and demonstrate how it is that they are to please and bring glory to God is the most valuable thing that you could give them. We'll see, do not provoke, exhort, encourage, and charge, teach, and talk. Those are the things that we're going to touch on here as we go through. First of all, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So from James, just go back a few books to Ephesians chapter 6. So the first thing is, don't make them angry. Don't make them angry. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Amen. Let's go home. "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That is what I want to focus on. The other part, listen, kids, those of you who have parents, it's important that you listen to God's word, right? To be obedient to your parents. But let's focus on this. Verse 4, don't make them angry. I want to start off with a negative command that's positive in its understanding and application to raising children, because it is positive. The lack of discipline and instruction in the Lord will lead to provoking our kids to anger. You know what it is to not know? There's one word, and usually, you know, you take offense to this word if it's used with you. What's that word? That's it. You're ignorant. That doesn't come across very well, right? It's not received very well. Oftentimes, you if you hear that word, it's because it's like in the back of your mind, you're being called stupid. You're being called dumb. It brings thoughts and feelings of anxiety, of frustration. And you want to lash back, you know, with something that you think might be smart, but then maybe you're smart and you hold your tongue and don't say anything, right? Ignorance. You can actually provoke your children to wrath, to anger, if you allow them continue on in life in ignorance of God's word. Them not knowing the truth, not knowing how it is to handle certain situations to God's glory. You can provoke them. And it's simply this. It's not that you're stupid. It's not that you're dumb. But it's that you lack understanding and a know-how. That's what brings frustration to a person. Let me ask you guys, since this is Father's Day, how many of you, even though as you're driving, and let's say this is the day, you know, a time before smartphones, when there are only gas station attendants that were, you know, you could call your GPS, okay, and you went around, and even though your wife was asking you, honey, do you know where we're at? How many of you were actually at peace, calm, cool, and collected inside? I know I wasn't. I was kind of frustrated. I was kind of upset. And I was thinking, I know it's around here somewhere. I got to like look like I know what I'm doing. No, 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 just around this corner over here. No, just around this corner. And I was absolutely lost, right? Being lost brings frustration. You're anxious. You're looking for something that looks maybe familiar, but then you don't know anything. And so therefore, you don't even know what you're looking for. You're ignorant. You don't know. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. So Old Testament, we'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to be looking just at a couple verses here. Because I want to give you an example of a father who failed in his godly responsibilities. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. This is Eli. This, by the way, is the priest who, as Hannah prayed and asked the Lord for a son, and through the prophet Eli, he came to Hannah and told her, "You will be, don't worry, don't be sad anymore. The Lord has given you a son." And she promised the Lord that she would present that son to him for his service. And she did that. She followed through with her word, right? And his name is Samuel. Samuel is the one who anointed King David, right? But Eli was that prophet, that person who came and gave that word to Hannah. But even though he was serving the Lord, okay, even though he was a priest, he still failed at home. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. That's it. This is the word of God. He brought this forth for our understanding, for us to be clear about what he says is what he means. This is his heart. He says, now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. And then verse 17 says, thus the sin of the young men was very great in the sight of the Lord, for the men treated the offering of the Lord with contempt. They didn't know the Lord. Ignorance led to a place in their lives to where they didn't know how to honor the Lord. They were in the flesh completely. They were not in the spirit. They acted just as the flesh would act. And the sin was great in the sight of the Lord. I wanted to point that out to you. Because just because we're doing everything right, just because everything looks good on the outside, just because we look polished and we look ourselves like we have all kinds of knowledge, and we're even leading other people to the Lord, if we fail at home, then we're failing the Lord, and that's a great sin in the eyes of the Lord. We need to provide for our family. We need to provide for our homes, not just with dollar bills, not just with things like that, or things, but with understanding. Understanding of the Word of God. No doubt that you could say that his kids were frustrated. Because a lost person is frustrated, but a found person is at peace. So number one, don't make them angry. Let's move on from that. Let's go back and into the New Testament. Let's go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the second point, coach them well. So the first one, don't make them angry. Secondly, coach them well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Coach them well. A good coach will have high standards and expect his players to rise up to those standards, to his standards. Right? That's what a good coach does. He demands, he directs. A good coach will strongly urge his players to follow through with rules, instructions, and commands. Especially at the beginning, my youngest son, he made the all-star team, and so now we have these coaches that are coming in, and they're not putting up with anything. They expect them to meet their standards, and it's great. As a dad, I'm standing off to the side, and I'm seeing these little 9 and 10-year-olds doing push-ups. It's like, you guys want to act like that? That's fine, drop. Oh, all of a sudden behavior changes. The expectations are maintained. The standards are maintained. It's not the coach saying, oh, you know, I know your kids. You know, hey, just do what you want to do. If you want to learn a little bit, because it's all about having fun, right? I don't know. Yesterday we won. That's a good feeling. A good coach will encourage and reinforce when players follow through with rules, instruction, and commands too, though. When a coach sees that a player is all of a sudden, he's coming through and he's following those commands, he's following those instructions, he's following those rules, you know what that player needs now? Some encouragement. Hey, attaboy. That's what I want to see there. That's a team player. That's how it is that we're going to do our best out here in the field, staying focused and on task right here, rising to those standards and expectations. And a good coach will entrust his players to follow through with the practice of the game and continue it on the field, expecting them to play it the way it was taught to them. There's a whole way of playing the game of baseball. You play it that way, you encourage your players. You continue to move forward as a team. One person, if you only had a pitcher, or if you only had a shortstop, if you only had a first baseman, and they were a superstar, they batted 500, hit over 30 home runs every season, but they were the only person that was out there, would they win? No, they wouldn't win a game, even though they'd come up to bat and do amazing. They would turn around and go out to the field, and he would lose, right? So baseball is a team sport. Now, we look back at these two verses. It says, for you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Did you know that the church is not made up of one superstar? The church is made up of many members, and we make up a body. And as we all participate in what the church is and should do, then we all win. We all win. And we see souls won, and we see people discipled. We see people helped through different crises. We see encouragement. We also see accountability take place, which is very important for the advancement of the kingdom to the glory of God. And we see that first and foremost with our Father in heaven as he instructs us, as he, so to speak, coaches us along the way. He does those things. He will strongly urge, he will encourage and reinforce, he entrusts to us, which is absolutely amazing. Likewise, as fathers, we too are to coach our children well in the scriptures, building them up and preparing them to glorify the Lord. So number one, don't make them angry. Number two, coach them well. And thirdly, teach them to love God. Turn with me now back to the Old Testament, the fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. Right after Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If anything at all, if you forget everything, just jot down Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and go through allow the Lord to teach you what it is that's important to Him. Learn this right here. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9 is very important for us to apply to our own lives. If you're in the Word and applying it in your own life and are talking about it with your children, then you will teach them to love God. If they see that church is a priority, His Word is central in all issues of life, and Jesus is King in your heart, governing who you are, then your kids will see that your Christianity, your faith is sincere and genuine, and that will make a lifelong impact on their lives. If you love the Lord with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your might, then God's word will be on your heart, your mind, and on the tip of your tongue. So that's what you desire more than anything else. Is God, teach me. This will no longer be boring. You will no longer have to be told, listen, you should daily be in devotional and on your knees. You should be going through and being a student of the Word of God. No one will have to tell you. You yourself will go and you'll be on your knees and you will open up the Word of God and you will receive wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And most of all, you will get to know the Creator who created you and knew you before you were even in your mother's womb, who gave you the breath of life, the ability to do the things that you do. And you will understand that as you love Him in response to His love that He showed to you and demonstrated to you, that it's all just a response and you want to glorify and bring Him blessings. No one will have to tell you. No one. When it clicks with a man, when all of a sudden, ladies, you see your man opening up the Word of God and going through, and then you see this passion overcome him, it's not a passion for anything else, not to receive, but because he's understanding that he's received everything, that he wants to give it away. He'll love you more. He'll love your kids more. He'll honor the Lord in everything. Perfectly? No, of course not. But he'll understand that. That's why it's important. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, we're not going to break down these verses because we can do that. But not this morning. We won't. One thing that I want you just to keep in mind, just to remember, if you love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might, then God's word will be on your heart, your mind, and on the tip of your tongue. You will teach truth to your children diligently, and you will talk of God's wisdom fluidly because you first love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. It'll just come forth. God will give you that remembrance, that understanding, and that right application, that's wisdom. It's amazingly scary to realize and know how closely our kids follow us. It's an awful responsibility. It is. And so the best thing you can do for your kids is to teach them to love God by loving God yourself. Not just pointing, but demonstrating. Not just showing the way, but walking with them. Showing them sometimes your own vulnerability, your own transparency is very important with your kids. As they see, listen, I'm not perfect. But at the same time, I'm getting back up. I'm going to dust myself off. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to continue to move forward. This is not going to hold me down. They need to see that too. Because if as parents, as dads and moms, if all of a sudden we come across something to where it's like, hey, you know what? I am down for the count. I'm no longer useful for the kingdom. I'm going to sit off on the sidelines and I'm no longer going to engage. How does a verse like, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, how do you explain that to your kids? Right? How do you explain, if you confess your sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. How do you explain scripture like that when they come across verses like that? That's why it's important for us as parents to walk and to lead and to demonstrate to them what it is to live as a follower of Christ. So three things: don't make them angry, coach them well, and teach them to love God. In conclusion, I want to say this, is that you know that laughter is good for the soul. It's good for you, right? It's something that, you know, we haven't gone through or anything like that. But laugh with your kids. Have fun with them. Do the ice challenge with them. Maybe not that. That's going around. So if you haven't heard of the ice challenge, you may get challenged. But have fun. Have fun with your kids. But there are a few gifts I want to point out to you and leave you with. The gift of Jesus Christ. John 4:10 says, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." How about the gift of eternal life? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." How about the gift of salvation through faith? Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." And if you have Jesus Christ, if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to receive him as Lord and Savior, then you'll understand that it's not of your own doing. It's a free gift. It costs the Father everything. It costs the Father the Son. But his grace demonstrated to us through his Son, as we receive him, as we understand and we know salvation, we will have this. The gift of confident love. 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." That's confident love. Not arrogant, not haughty. It's confident love in the Lord. We fear nothing. We fear no one. We only fear one in complete reverence and honor to him. It's good, by the way. I know I hear it all the time. We need to fear him like fear displeasing him. Yes, absolutely. We need to do that. Okay? But it is good when you fear dad. When you know that if I touch this, if I do that, if I break that, that consequences will come. Wait till your father gets home. Kind of that, you know, comes to mind. It's good. But in that, we need to understand that as He's our Father, then we have this confident love. And perfect love casts out all fear. So the Father's best gift was His Son. That's who we need to give, because He is the good and perfect gift by whom we can now know forgiveness of sins, we can know salvation, and we can know a relationship with the Father. And I pray that each and every one of you are there. You know that relationship. You know salvation. You know the Father through the Son. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one way to salvation, and we need to know that. And so if you have any questions as to what it is to know the Lord, what it is to be saved, and then I encourage you after service to come forward and ask. I will be up here. The elders will be up here in the front. Please ask. This is something that in between you and the Lord, you can just ask Him for forgiveness. Ask Him to be your Lord, your Savior, and ask him to occupy your life and to show you what it is to walk with Him. And I encourage you to continue to have fellowship in a church that teaches the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your instruction, Lord. Your Word is beautiful. It's worthy to know, to meditate on, to know and to teach. I pray, Lord, that as dads You would, Lord, help us. Lord, help us with Your strength. Help us with Your knowledge. Help us with Your love. That we may impart that to others around us, especially to our wives and to our children. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to love You too. That You would show us how to love You, as we see it demonstrated on the pages of Scripture. Help us to also apply it to our lives, that we may demonstrate it to those around us. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who does not know You, that this morning, today, be the day of salvation. That they would surrender their lives to You. Understand that You desire for none, You wish that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Why? Because You desire that relationship with each and every person. You want everyone to be forgiven, to receive that forgiveness, to receive Your love demonstrated in Your Son. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to You. We commit this day into Your hands, and we celebrate You. Happy Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.